Morning, little chap. Come for your copy of the Harpoon magazine.
Rather.
Hip, hip. Cheerio, then.
Think I'll sit here in the putting green and have a merry old read. By Jove, what a spiffing cover as usual. That sturdy three-masted whaling schooner braving the perilous briny. Wait a tick. What are those sailors sniffing?
Whale to port, Tapoon!
What's that you be sniffing, bosun?
Montmorency snuff, Captain! All we stout-hearted whalers choose Montmorency!
Why is that then, bosun?
Why, tis nasal pleasure at its finest, sir! There she blows!
All aboard for this week's Laughing Through the Depression issue of The Harpoon! A magazine for young and old across the English-speaking world, with six colour plates and numerous black and white illustrations. Price 7 pence halfpenny net and available throughout the empire. All rights reserved.
Hey, babe. You know, Chum the editor, yeah? Deep in the basement of Harpoon House, where the jolly old printing press is churning out this week's edition. Alas, since the Wall Street crash, the Depression's been hitting everyone, and we at the Harpoon are no exception. So, a slightly budget issue this week, I'm afraid. Sponsored by Montmorency's Snuff, nasal pleasure at its finest. Ah, but don't worry, this week's feast is every bit as nourishing as the last. All in all, a plump hamper of laughter, science, and frog spawn descriptions. Oh, and do be careful turning the pages this week, won't you? Financial difficulties have forced us to print the issue on slightly flimsy paper, so...
Oops! I've torn the corner off through to the next page.
Binoculars at the bottom of the village pond.
Better stick it back down. That's better.
Your sewing pack has arrived.
Oh, marvellous. Now I can get on with all those darning jobs I've been putting off. But what's this? There's nothing in the envelope.
Not quite, madam. Look again. You see, you ordered a sewing pack from Morrison's Invisible Mending Limited. Yes, our threads are so invisible they're difficult to distinguish from air. Send 4 guineas for a free sample pack to Chuck Morrison's Business Enterprises Limited, above the chip shop, Worthing.
Mother, my sleeve's fallen off.
Nonsense, Jenny. It's another miracle from Morrison's Invisible Mending.
Page 5, Meadowfield's Maisie. The exciting, action-packed climax of our thrilling serial featuring the adventures of Maisie Drummond, working-class pupil at the Meadowfields Academy for Young English Women.
By Della Vigilante Hill, authoress of They Found the Ballet Shoe.
Part the 3rd, Bertha Let's Rip. In last week's episode, Maisie and her chums were on the trail of 16 of their schoolmates, who've all gone missing in mysterious circumstances. Events lead them to an evil gang of Arab white slavers, led by none other than headmistress Miss Snape, revealed in her true guise as Sheikh Mustafa Snape, bearded scourge of Marrakesh, and assisted by her trusty cohorts, the entire population of the sleepy village of Slumber-on-the-Chintz, all wearing binoculars. Sealed in a huge, impregnable crate, our brave chums are about to be dropped to a watery grave at the bottom of the village pond. Can Maisie possibly escape this liquid fate, outwit the malicious Mustafa, confront the 432 vile villagers, infiltrate, undermine, and destroy the biggest white slave trading organization north of Winchester, effect their arrest, trial, and imprisonment, and win the gymkhana tomorrow on her faithful old nag, Crooked Milko? Read on.
Maisie! How can we possibly get out of this seemingly impossible predicament?
It's simple. A couple of shots from this gun I happen to have picked up should do the trick.
Yippee, we're free!
Follow me, everyone!
Geronimo!
All right, you bunch of 432 tea leaves, hands up! And you, Miss Snape!
Curse you, Drummond. Trust a plucky little East Ender like you to foil us in a matter of seconds. All right, give yourselves up, everyone. It's a fair cop. We had a good innings. Now it's time to hang up our yashmaks.
All right, Louis, round them up.
Oh, Whizzo! Good old Milko managed to get my note to the Rozzers. Well done, old horse.
You're a marvel, Miss Drummond. Come on, everyone, let's hear it for Maisie, eh? Hip, hip!
Hooray!
But just 1 minute, Inspector. You are carrying a pair of binoculars. Are you too part of this lens-based conspiracy?
No, ma'am. We've all got them. They're going cheap down the village shop.
Dear Pater, well, what a full first 2 days at Meadowfield. And the cherry on the cake, of course, was the Gymkhana on Saturday.
And the joint winners of this year's Gymkhana are Princess Taryn on Marimint and Maisie Drummond on Crooked Milko, followed by the 8 Mildreds on Dobbin, 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 and Dobbin.
Yes, Daddy, core lover-duck Milko proved a wizard show-jumper. His dressage was blimmin' squiffy and his front leg fell off during the point-to-point, but he took the crowd's breath away. Trouble is, at the presentation ceremony, Miss Basin announced that the silver cups had gone missing. Well.
Well, what a marvellous tale that was. Della Vigilante Hill is on holiday next week, so we'll have to wait till the summer, I'm afraid, for more tales from Meadowfields. So till then, it's cheerio, Governor, Maisie's chums.
Hip, hip again, harpooners. Do you know, this is the deep sea minnows idea of a squadron of enemy aircraft.
Laughing through the depression. Nurse Dennis's guide to keeping your end up during these lean years of deprivation, unemployment, and hunger. This week, how to make the most of a meager Sunday meal that isn't quite up to scratch.
Hello, materials. In these days of want, hardship, and grimaces, it's difficult to get hold of beef. So here's a tip that'll put back the smiles on your kiddies' faces of a Sunday. Simply disguise their humble bowl of bread and milk as a sizzling joint of sirloin, garnished with runner beans and sauté potatoes. Soak the bread in gravy browning and wrap it in string. Cut up a green crayon into little pieces, add a few curly wood shavings, then sit back and watch their lean little faces light up in glee as the wooden feast approaches. Cheerio, Madeiros!
And remember, keep your peckers up. Got your attention?
Good. White bounds grey paint. Over 4 shades available. Send for catalogue and our leaflet. Uses for grey paint. 11 Chichely Road, Wallasey.
It's very grey.
D.K. Wallasey.
Milestones in History. Part 4 in our occasional series of Great Inventions. This week,
the Story of the Comb.
Drawn by Carl Bravado. With text by Davinia Lupus.
Frankfurt, 1770. Wilhelm Sluppenschaft, chemist, sits slumped in his laboratory, musing on the untidiness of mankind's hair.
Krutzig an der Teufel! My forelock is keeping falling into the test tubes. Surely there must be some means of arranging the hair into uniformity.
Your supper, mein Doktor.
Simmel! Can't you see I'm in the throes of inventiveness, woman?
Sorry, mein Doktor. Don't forget to take your teeth out before you go to bed, by the way.
Scorning all rest, Herr Sluppenschaft remained ensconced in his laboratory in an effort to solve the problem of man's hirsute entanglement.
Experiment 106. Warm milk. Result ineffective. When the milk was poured over the head, the outcome was not the required neatness of the hair.
Your lunch, mein Doktor.
Got him schnell, Fraulein. Get out.
Sorry, mein Doktor. I will go und rake the garden.
Year after year, the doctor worked, coming up with ever more desperate ideas.
Experiment number 236,762. Ineffective.
Your breakfast, mein Doktor.
Scheißen, get out!
Sorry, mein Doktor. I will just go and comb my hair with this comb which I made last night.
Dr. Slupenschaft died at the age of 93, a broken man, his dream never realized. However, several years later, in the room previously occupied by his idiot maid, Griselda, an object was discovered which bore startling resemblance to what we know today as the comb. No one knows how it got there, and we can only guess that the doctor inadvertently made it in his tortured sleep, went sleepwalking, and dropped it on her floor. So, let all men without a frazzled bonce salute Dr. Wilhelm Slupenschaft, inventor of the comb.
And next week, The Birth of the Balcony by Laszlo Fetter. Wonders of Nature.
The Life Cycle of the Bull Elephant.
Drawn by Miss Valerie Hastings.
Figure 1. The elephant is born. Figure 2. The elephant starts to grow. Figure 3. The elephant continues growing. Figure 4. The expansion of the elephant proceeds gradually.
Young, enthusiastic sales girl required to start immediately in our small family shop. Two openings might be available, as we may contemplate expansion in the future. Apply to ICI & Sons, the corner shop, Margate.
Wonders of Nature continued.
The life cycle of the bull elephant, figure 937. The elephant continues to grow. Figure 938. The elephant comes to the end of its life cycle.
Good shot, Archibald.
Families of far-off countries. Number 236. Wales.
Florida.
Photograph L. Minto, Milford Haven, 24th of the 8th.
What a colourful bunch the Evanses are, seen here huddled together in their noble little coracle, ma'am in her stovepipe hat, long skirt and hobnail boots, Dar in his miner's helmet and druid's costume, and little Gethin and Mafanwy both in rags, ready for a hard day's begging along the English border. A proud people, unfortunately, the Welsh have no discernible talents, save for burglary, mining, making things out of seaweed and hanging around in small groups, singing close harmony songs about saucepans. But at least they do what they're told. Unlike the Irish.
Yakida!
Yakida to you, Evanses. Next week, the Cayman Islands. True Life Tales.
In Search of Selsdon Mace.
Being extract from the journal of Carshalton Edgar, author of Guttersnipe Jim, Luncheon or Death, and I Packed My Chiffon Necktie, etc.
Day 8. Disaster. My quest in search of the missing explorer, Selsdon Mace, who mistakenly sailed to the South Pole in search of missing explorer Edmund Colt, who had in fact disappeared in darkest Africa whilst on a quest to find the legendary white natives of Arambaya, has taken something of a sorry turn. I've locked myself in the house. Furthermore, I'd already prepared for a hellish journey across the barren Antarctic wastes, and while I starve in here, there is a 6-month supply of food and provisions cruelly out of reach on the roof of my motor car.
Plate 1. Edgar's stomach protested as he peered forlornly through the lounge window at the enormous hamper strapped to the roof of his Bentley.
Oh dear. Oh dear, dear, dear.
Here ends the journal of Carshalton Edgar. Next week we commence a new serial, In Search of Carshalton Edgar, by P.C. Gwen Matlock of the Hoxton Constabulary Missing Persons Bureau, and author of Crimes in Hoxton and Surrounding Villages, an annual report.
Yes, yes, my baby said yes, yes. I'm glad she said yes, yes, instead of no, no.
What every wife should know. Dr. Edith Pariah, our medical correspondent, outlines all the necessary duties that are part of that great adventure called marriage.
Hello, and greetings to all readers of the Harpoon who are also young brides-to-be. How many times has a young wife, After the ritual of courtship, the bliss of engagement, and the excitement and formalities of her wedding day, embarked upon wifehood, totally unprepared for what is to come. Here then, for the first time in an English publication, are the full and complete details, in simple, clear language and uninhibited, easy-to-understand illustrations, of the most important, onerous, but not wholly unpleasant obligation a young wife will find herself having to perform for her husband on her honeymoon.
Fig 1. The sewing machine. Side view.
Yes, machine stitching. Now, the most crucial task in mechanical darning is, of course, manipulation of the bobbin. What you do is grasp the bobbin in a closed fist, then...
Ring of Fear, being the tragic tale of Dimmy Dolt, the tallest midget in Christendom.
I was born in 1834, I know not where. Abandoned by my parents on a Wiltshire roadside, I was rescued by a travelling circus and raised by a family of midgets by the name of Clinch. And thence began the long years of cruelty and hardship which mark every feature of the sorry story that is my life.
Well, Dimmy, you're 15 years old now, and a more bonny-looking midget you'd never find the length and breadth of Merry England.
Am I really a midget, Father?
Of course you are, son, just like us.
But I'm 6'4".
Well, nobody's perfect. Here, have a jam tart.
Life in the circus was harsh and brutal. Each evening, after a frugal meal of beef Wellington, suet, spiced mutton, vegetables, raspberry tart, zabaglione, Stilton, and a selection of tropical nuts, I'd be forced to perform in the ring for the evil ringmaster, Mr. Timothy Smith.
All right, Dimmy lad, you're on next. Remember your routine.
Yes, Mr. Smith, sir. I go into the ring, I lie down on that big feather bed, and I drink a glass of lemonade.
Marvellous, lad, marvellous. Are you sure you're up to it now? You look a bit peaky.
No, sir, it's fine.
Good. Tell you what, though, we'll have a day off tomorrow, shall we? All go to the seaside, eh?
God, how I long to escape. Every day my step-midgets would patronise me by saying I was free to leave any time I wished.
Of course you can go, Dimmy. Here's a bag of gold and a partnership in my brother's suet factory. Do you want the lift?
How easily I saw through his shallow and pitiless deception. But one day, a beacon of hope stole into my life. Eva LeBlanc, Parisian trapeze artist. How graceful her poise, how shapely her physique. But tragically, she was pledged to another. Figaro Balcock, the knife admirer from Vienna. When he and Mr. Smith discovered our secret plans, they went white with fury.
Congratulations, Dimmy. Of course you can marry Eva. We're just good friends.
Congratulations, both of you. Hip, hip.
With every door closed to us, life became meaningless for Eva and I. We decided to end it all. That night, I joined her at a trapeze act. We'd replaced the safety net with a series of large iron spikes, hoping nobody would notice. And at a given signal, we'd both let go and plunge to our deaths. Goodbye, Eva.
Goodbye, dear sweet Dimmy.
Good gracious, look, they've replaced the safety net with a series of large iron spikes.
Too late.
Tragically, we survived the impalement, and after a series of surgical adjustments, we managed to obtain employment in a seedy fairground, where we still eke out a precarious living as a sideshow. Me billed as the perforated gnome of the Upper Volta, and my beloved Eva as the backless woman of Tunbridge. Still, at last we are free from that vile circus that was little more than a prison, little more than a ring of fear.
And so ends the tale of Dimmy Dolt, the tallest and the most foolish midget in Christendom. Next week, another circus yarn. Massive Jack, the 2-foot colossus of Gwent.
The Joy of Wool, with Grace Calvert. This week, mittens.
Yes, when Uncle Jack Frost visits your town in the coming months, make sure you have a nice pair of woolen mittens hanging by a thread from the sleeves of your duffel coat. And here's how to make them. Next week, nose cozies.
Harpoon Romance, the next part of our gripping adventure serial.
The Brigands of La Nada!
By Bentley Warhol, author of Gypsy Begone, The Fiery Totem, He Courted a Slave, etc. Episode 2, Toby the Brigand, Howard the King.
Last week, a junior law clerk, Toby Watkins, on holiday to the distant land of La Nada, has become separated from his massive, handsome, yet somewhat stupid school pal Howard. Toby prepared to meet death at the hands of the swarthy socialist brigand General Patata, while Howard has fallen into the clutches of the beautiful young banished queen, Orange Tombstone Flannel. Howard has tried to rescue Toby in disguise of a simple peasant girl, but Toby no recognize him, and Howard does run away again, accidentally breaking the back of Paella the communist donkey in the process. But has Toby been spared? 3 weeks later, in the camp of the brigands.
So you see, out comes Mama with a dessert bowl and some Loganberry cordial.
See?
And plop! Cousin Edwardia's tennis ball lands straight in the summer pudding.
Toby, your stories of English rolling classes is so amusing. I'm glad I decided not to kill you yet.
Well, me too, General Patata. How else would I have learned of the grim plight of the Lanada proletariat under the now banished monarchy and seen the light of true socialist philosophy?
Si, you're a true amigo.
Brother, and a committed Marxist to boot, thanks to you, old stick.
Oh, Paella, beloved donkey mule of mine. Enormous lady, bust your spine.
Gazpacho! Silencio! And go and wake the other brigands. We march on the city at dawn.
You know, comrade, there's only one regret I have.
Si.
I wonder what ever became of dear old Howard.
Oh, please, can't we stop for a bit, Missy Flannel? 3 weeks we've been walking and this here rain shrunk my plus fours to I don't know what.
Howard, we can stop now. We have found it. Notorious fascist monarch Taverna, the Matador and Birkin, framed against the darkening sky, a putrid hostelry from hell.
I ain't old enough to go in pubs, you see. I'm 11. Or at least that's what they tells me.
Shut up.
Non Marenzi snuff!
Nasal pleasure at his finest!
Dos mescalinas, por favor. I say, dos mescalinas.
How you dare enter this dreaded haunt of murderers and bandidos?
Arriba!
Who is you, chica?
Me? I'm the queen!
You insult the memory of our beloved despot. We kill you.
The queen is returned. Arriba!
You is ready to ride with my army of 10,000 brigands to another city, Toby?
I ponking well am, old biscuit. Why, I haven't had this much fun since Aunt Megan used the wrong-sized croquet mallet. But I feel that tale is for another time.
Rioja.
General, I have grave news from the other side of mountains. The queen is returned to La Nada. Okay. See, she is young, beautiful, and now prepares also to march on the city with her army.
Dios above.
I say, General, I hope you won't think me a frightful bore, but if you banished the monarchy all those years ago in the name of equality for all, dispersed their forces and returned to the mountains...
See?
Who's actually running the country?
You know, I never think of that. Brigands of La Nada!
Arriba!
To the city!
Arriba!
Howard, you okay?
I feel sick. I've never been on a horse before.
Soon you will have many horses. For if I am queen, you, Howard, you shall be my king.
Yay!
Oh, what?
You hear they got a king as well now, Toby?
Really? Well, comrade, I hope I shall meet him in battle. Then, whoever he be, I shall run him through with my own sword. For equality, for justice, for Lenarda, and above all, for my lost chum, Howard, wherever he may be. Arriba!
Oh, Dios, will Toby and Howard meet again? And what if they do? Find out in next week's episodio of The Brigands of Lanada. Harpoon Back Pages.
Who's been polishing the sun, rubbing out the clouds of grey? They must have known just how I like it. Everything's coming my way.
Yes, it's your old bosom chum, the editor, back with that fizzling feast of fun and frolics, the Harpooners Club. First off, more in lighter moods for you. Cheery accounts of real-life hilarity sent in by harpooners. Dear editor.
Dear editor. Or should I say, Fortinbras. How could you, you beast, how could you? After all we said, did, loved, for you to just... By the time you read this letter...
How did that get in there? Next up, picture crossword.
Two down. Six across. Nine down. Seven across. And three down.
And the contributor of the first correct solution fished out of me postbag in these straitened times will receive the artiest admiration. Now this week's word teasers. Number one.
A pot.
There you go. Now, how many words relating to rabbit keeping can you make out of that? The first harpooner to come up with more than 65 will receive a Montmorency snuff coupon. Nasal pleasure at its finest, worth sixpence. Number two, an anagram. All the letters in the following words have been jumbled up. Can you rearrange them to form the brand name of a leading make of snuff?
Mr. Tom's funny scene.
Tricky one, that. Here's a clue for you. It's nasal pleasure at its finest. And finally, answers to readers' queries. Master S. Dali, Figueras, Spain. Sorry, Salvador, but the work you sent me was absolute rubbish. Clocks just don't do that. Megan Rhys Davis, 12 Llangollen Crescent, Carmarthen, Wales. The answer to your question is Carmarthen. Carmarthen. If you get confused again, refer to one of the many street signs posted around the town. Or ask your mother. W. Quinn, Port Kallang, Malaya. Serves you right for killing them all. Hope they throw the key away. Mr. Potts, Epping. I'm afraid I can't confirm or deny your suspicion since I've never visited Purgatory, and I doubt if the Ordnance Survey people can help either. B. Parsifal, Santa Cruz, Ecuador. Ink, I imagine. And ignore the butler, they do tend to exaggerate a bit. Well, I'm afraid that's all for this week. This is your old chum, the editor, taking a pinch of Montmorency's snuff, nasal pleasure at its finest, and saying, Imperatus Foundationis Blubberum. Hip hip!
Who's been polishing the sun, rubbing out the clouds of grey? They must have known just how I like it. Oh, oh, come on, let's go.
The Harpoon is printed and published weekly by the proprietors, London W1. The magazine was penned by Julian Dutton and Peter Bainham. The characters were lavishly depicted by Alistair McGowan, Bryony Pritchard, Mary Elliott Nelson, Peter Bainham and Julian Dutton. The Harpoon was produced on stretched goat's vellum by Sarah Smith. All rights reserved.
Polishing the sun, they must have known just how I like it. Everything's coming my way.
My, my. It is a flimsy issue this week. Why, if I hold it up to the sun, I can see through the pages. Look, all the words and pictures in a jolly mishmash. How odd.